The man who designed a nuclear bomb for Saddam Hussein has published a memoir. Kadir Hamza defected from Iraq 5 years ago. His book, Saddam's Bombmaker, offers an insider's account of professional and personal life in the shadow of Saddam. Hamza says that when the Gulf War began, the Iraqi president was only months away from making a working bomb and had every intention of using it.
They wanted us to make one bomb to drop on somebody during the Gulf War. Then we knew the man is insane, that we are out of any rational bond for use. You don't make atomic weapons to use them. You make them for deterrence, to give you some impunity, to give you some kind of defensive posture against whatever enemy you think you have, but not to actually use it. This guy intended to use it during the Gulf War. We just didn't deliver it. That's what stopped him.
Would the target have been a U.S. facility, or would it always have been Israel?
Most of probably, they didn't tell us, but they wanted it mounted on a long-range missile, and which means it was meant for Israel, most probably. I doubt if you'll dare use it against U.S. or allied troops.
You had contact with Saddam.
Yes.
What's he like?
On TV, he's smiling, pleasant. In private, he's terrible. He become heavy-handed. He's like a bully. He acts like a bully, and he's dismissive, impatient. You barely can finish a sentence with him without interrupting you. He'll always interrupting you, say something, lecturing all the time, imperial all the time. It's terrible dealing with him.
A bit paranoid?
Yeah.
Actually, you could justify as being paranoid.
Yep. Yeah.
There are enough people who would want to do him in.
Yes. Yes, a lot of people want to do it, and the problem is they've never been successful.
He has food tasters?
Food tasters, yes. And one of them his son killed, and he almost killed his son for it. He was enraged. These are the closest people to him. They are the ones who really keep him alive. I mean, food tasters, bodyguards. You don't touch those, even by his family.
He brings his food in from Paris?
Oh, yes. When we had open access, we get a plane almost every day loaded with goods.
Tell me about the Hunt Club.
The Hunt Club actually was a racing club for horse races, and which Saddam took over, turned into a private club, more or less, for a high-level government official and himself. Of course, immediately, once I put the plan for a bomb, I was immediately a member.
So you got to enjoy the hunting club.
The Hunter Club is all there is in Iraq. Any band, any music group, any singer, famous singer in the region, Europe, sometimes they bring us European groups. They come invited by the Iraqi government, highly paid, that show they perform on Iraqi TV and the Hunting Club. So we get the first show of all the famous singers and dancers in the region, and for free. With food almost for free, and it was enjoyable at the time.
You were doing all right there. It sounds like wine, women, and song at the Hunting Club.
It is. For us, for after a while, when we knew what the game is, it's really not very enjoyable. You are afraid a word here, a whisper there might do you in. And it happened almost to me. I mean, the word was out that somehow the project leaked. And Saddam was mad, and his son-in-law, Kamil, saved my life by telling me to disappear for a while till things cool off. And then Kamil explained to him that this is always the case. There's always suspicion, a word here, a word there. Nothing is sealed in 100%.
What an irony, though. Better it gets for you, the more in danger you are.
Exactly. Because then you are closer to him, and your life hangs by a thread there. If he's angry at something you did, the wrong word reached his ear about you, you might not manage to escape fast enough.
But you did.
I managed. I, because his son-in-law was on my side. He tempered the thing a bit.
You describe a group of women that you refer to as Saddam's eyes and ears.
Yes. When I was at the palace, I was given an apartment, and I found out the cleaning women are very beautiful there. I mean, you don't see so many beautiful cleaning women anywhere else, even in top-line hotels. So I started asking around, and it turned out these were his ex-mistresses, a woman he had for a night here and there. Apparently, they accumulate with time. So instead of letting them out, talking about the night they spent with Saddam, he employed them in, get them to sign all kind of confidentiality letters, and turn them into cleaners, into secretaries, into hostesses, all kinds of work needed there. Anything you say, overheard by any one of them, is immediately reported. So he has total control over the palace through this media, through this very insidious group of people.
So you don't want to get too friendly with these women?
No. I was warned, actually. I was joking with one of them, and one of my friends noticed. And he said, "What are you doing? You don't know who these are." I said, "No, what are these?" And he started telling me. And then I kept away.
And the CIA originally didn't want to take you in.
Yes. I don't know what the reasons were. Probably my conditions that my family should be gotten out, and they didn't want to take that risk initially because I live next to Saddam's palace, one block away. And probably, I don't know, many other factors.
Do you feel safe here? You write that Saddam never forgives an enemy.
With time, eventually you relax. You have no other choice. I mean, you cannot stay afraid 5, 6 years, 10 years. It's impossible. Eventually you relax. I feel now the situation is safe in a sense. It wouldn't do him any good doing a hit right now. It will just aggravate the situation of the sanctions for him. He wants to give a different view of Iraq, of him, as a lawful guy, as a guy, a legal president. So if he do a hit now, he has thousands of enemies now all over Europe and the U.S. and everywhere. I think for a while he'll lie low also on this. But after sanctions are lifted, I wouldn't feel that things will be the same.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Qadir Hamza, former head of Iraq's nuclear weapons program, is co-author with Jeff Stein of Saddam's Bombmaker.